network of servers at abandoned apartment buildings that could have shut down cell service citywide, all part of a plot targeting senior U.S. government officials. Autism experts like Colin Killick pushing back after President Trump warned pregnant women not to take Tylenol.
It's this kind of quick fix and the false promise that they have. They want there to be one drug that's just going to magically make autism go away. And it's not going to happen because autism isn't a disease.
Jimmy Kimmel's returning after he was suspended by ABC for comments about Charlie Kirk's assassination. Pop culture expert Robert Thompson.
There were probably a number of elements. Number one, folks at ABC and Disney were getting a lot of pressure from everybody, from unions to celebrities and these big petitions.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. Critics say there might be a money allocation problem in Milwaukee. State Senator Van Wongard yesterday released a report showing where he says the increase of tax money for Milwaukee went due to Act 12. His report claims there were raises for nearly every single city department except police. The Milwaukee Police Association says in a statement that nearly every city department has seen big raises since lawmakers passed Act 12 2 years ago, but that police officers are stuck at the bottom. They say the assessor's office got a 19% raise while officers have gone 3 years without a contract or pay bump. The association calls it a slow-motion defunding of police during a staffing crisis. In a statement, Milwaukee Alderman Peter Bergelis criticized Senator Wongard over the report, saying Milwaukee follows state law on Act 12 spending and can't use that money for wages. Bergelis says he's frustrated that Wongard never accepted invitations to talk directly and says Milwaukee's spending is plainly documented for everyone to see. The mayor's releasing his budget today. The man wounded when a Milwaukee officer shot him last week is now charged with obstruction. Investigators say 21-year-old Kenneth Cobero ran from a traffic stop on Greenfield Avenue and during a foot chase dropped a gun and reached for it again. An officer then fired, hitting him. Cobero was taken to the hospital with injuries that he'll survive. Republican candidate for Governor Bill Berrien is denying any conflict with his values after reports surfaced about him following sexually explicit blogs online. JS Online reports that his campaign says that just reading articles doesn't mean he agrees with everything an author posts. Asked about the issue, fellow candidate Josh Shulman and the state Democratic Party had no comment. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Wattles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
The crew and the Padres tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it'll be another late night on the West Coast for the Brewers as they take on the Padres for game two of their three-game series at San Diego's Petco Park. The Padres right-hander, Randy Vasquez, on the mound for San Diego against lefty Bruce Zimmerman, getting his first start for the Brewers. Game one finished after midnight here as the Padres won 5-4 thanks to a walk-off RBI single from Freddie Freeman in the bottom of the 11th. That clinched the spot in the playoffs for the Padres, their fourth in the last six seasons, the game ending past manager Pat Murphy's bedtime.
Good baseball game. You know, pleased with our guys. They came out to play hard, and they played hard the whole way. Padres got a really good team, and they were resilient, and give them credit.
NFL, the Packers face the Cowboys in Dallas on Sunday night. Cowboys receiver CeeDee Lamb now out a month after suffering a high ankle sprain in their loss to the Bears in Chicago. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The WAUK Text to Win contest sponsored by Horizons Law Group, where they educate, collaborate, mediate, or litigate to serve you best. HorizonsLaw.com.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog possible early, otherwise mostly cloudy skies today. Some lingering instability could lead to a stray shower or a thunderstorm in the afternoon. High temperatures right around 70. For tonight, mostly cloudy skies with lows near 60. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
Celebrate Wisconsin's farming heritage with a special broadcast of the Maggie Dawn Show on Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. live from the Reisinger family Hilltop Farm in Spring Green. We'll learn about the Reisinger family's past and explore their future. We'll also discuss the mental health crisis facing the state's farming community with the Farmer Angel Network, and we'll talk about programs that support farmers across Wisconsin with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Celebrate the legacy of the Reisinger family and families like them Thursday afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Jimmy Kimmel's back on the air. We'll explain what it means for free speech here in Wisconsin. And Badger football head coach Luke Fickell under fire. We'll discuss your chance to win green and gold tickets in Green Bay. Continue.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning at 7:06. It's nice to have you back here up north on this Tuesday morning, September 23rd, 2025. Parker Olson is our producer down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by with the forecast. And then we're going to be talking to congressional candidate Laura Benjamin from Eau Claire, who's running in the 3rd Congressional District, former Eau Claire City Council member. And we're going to talk about last night's Eau Claire City Council meeting, the first one since a couple of council members found themselves in hot water for the crime of expressing a point of view on the Charlie Kirk killing. And we'll talk about, you know, who showed up for last night's council meeting and what they had to say about the potential efforts to curtail the freedom of speech of a couple of elected officials in the city of Eau Claire. But before we get to all of that, it is contest time again. Time for the day's first round of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Parker, there's fine print to read in this. There's rules.
Yeah,
there's like everything else.
Multi-state.
We're going to need a proper music bed for this.
Are we? Okay.
Yeah, we got to work. Either the game show one, or because it's Go for the Green and Gold. Now we can't use that song.
No, we can't use that because we're not allowed to say that word. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So we'll work on that. So anyway, you listen to all of this, and
sure,
by the end, you're going to know exactly what kind of music bed we're going to need for tomorrow. Okay.
I'm just that good.
That's it. Okay. So give a listen and we'll see how this works out. All right. Time for the day's first round of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Yes, green and gold, as in gold and jewelry. Here's how to play. The texting is done through the Civic Media app. Look for a station. Use the text button for the 7 a.m. hour. You have to text us this hour's keyword before 8 a.m. There will be 7 chances to enter throughout the day, different keywords each time. Of all the day's entries in this multi-station, multi-state game, one lucky winner will get $200 cash and a gold-plated chain. See, green and gold. Then, one really lucky winner for the whole two-week contest will win the grand prize, 2 club-level indoor seats to see a Green Bay versus Minnesota football game, a Green Bay home game on November 23rd at noon, plus a gas card to get you to the game. Total value of the grand prize is more than $1,500. Remember, each entry will get a return message giving you a way to earn another entry linked to a specific activity, such as signing up for a newsletter. Each activity can only be done once. Full contest rules at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Here we go. The key word to text us before 8 a.m. is rival, as in Green Bay and Minnesota. Minnesota is a rival. R-I-V-A-L. R-I-V-A-L. Text rival before 8 o'clock. And then your next chance to enter will be during the 9 o'clock hour of Matt and Air on Air to Go for the Green and Gold. Let's bring in meteorologist Brittany Merlot now to get the forecast on a day that is starting really foggy here on Lake Wissota. Very gray, very dreary. Is this something that's going to be sticking around today, Brittany?
No, thankfully. So we're just starting off ugly, right? We've got a lot of clouds sitting on the ground right now, dense fog, thick in many, many places with less than a mile visibility. So a little rough commute this morning. I know a lot of us have some headaches from driving through that, but otherwise it will clear from between now to about 10 a.m. It should all lift and be gone. After that, we are going to see more clouds hanging out down south, more sunspots trying to peek through up north, and we're actually looking at a rather dry day today. The only chance for precipitation is a little bit of sprinkles pretty much north in the state, kind of sparking maybe this afternoon, but that's not even a trace of rain, so that is barely much at all. Down south, that look front is parked from about Racine, and it's dipping into Illinois now, and it's going to stay south. So a lot of the rain and the showers and the storms are going to be away from us. A much drier day expected, and then we've got a high-pressure system building in as we go into the rest of the week. So highs today will hit the mid-60s to mid-70s across the state. Tomorrow, we will get slightly cooler. All of us fall to about the 60s throughout Wisconsin. Mixed skies, mainly dry. The only chance for sprinkles this time tomorrow will be southeast in the state, kind of by Lake Michigan, although one or two could hit Madison as those winds from this departing system go across Lake Michigan. So that's it. Afterwards, high pressure system takes over on Thursday into the weekend, into next week as well. Temperatures will be sitting anywhere from about 70 to 80 degrees across the state. Dry conditions. Couldn't ask for anything better.
All right, Brittany Merlot, thank you so much for that. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next hour as well.
Sounds good.
Okay. Like I said before, it was a busy Eau Claire City Council meeting yesterday. People anticipating what might be coming up after two council members reacted to the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk in ways that Charlie Kirk supporters did not like and called for some kind of action, resignations or recall, whatever the case may be. And this last night was the first city council meeting since that time. And since that time, because of that backlash, because of things that Congressman Derek Van Orden has been saying, in fact, hundreds of times he's been saying and expressing his willingness to infringe on the free speech of others. We wanted to see if that sentiment carried over into last night's city council meeting. It did not, based on coverage from Channel 13 in Eau Claire and Channel 18 as well. The speakers who showed up for last night's public part of the speaking all spoke in favor of protecting freedom of expression. Laura Benjamin is a former Eau Claire City Council member. She is now one of three Democrats running for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District, hoping to take on Derek Van Orden in November of 2026. And Laura's with us right now. Laura Benjamin, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Pat. Thanks for having me. I'm great.
You bet. Well, so there you were once again in touch with the city council that you had belonged to. And again, to see the reports, it looks like if there was going to be a mob with torches and pitchforks, they didn't show up last night.
Well, it certainly sounded like they were ready for it. We went over the decorum rules and all that again. But the people that spoke there were very much in favor of the free speech of our council. And they saw what was happening with Derek Van Orden's willingness to attempt to withhold funds from our community as more of an attack on our community and these council members' free speech rights than anything else.
Well, and that I think maybe started what I guess you could call the backlash to the backlash. It's one thing that people might have been angry at what other people said about Charlie Kirk. It's another to say you're going to withhold federal funding from one of the largest cities in your community. Well, let's just start with that again, as somebody who's been on the city council and knows the role of federal funds in the operation of the city, the health and well-being of its residents. And now with you as a candidate hoping to run against that very same congressman, what'd you think when you heard that threat the first time from Derek Van Orden?
These funds are already designated to our community. It's law. It's done. It's a done deal. These funds are promised to Eau Claire. We make decisions based on those funds. We expect that to happen regardless of what a member of the leadership says. So even if an Eau Claire City Council member says something that's unpopular or that one side of the aisle thinks is unpopular, it doesn't matter. Frankly, the decision's been made, the laws have been signed, the budget is set, and we expect that is carried through.
And so what does it tell you and what do you think it should be telling people, not just in the city of Eau Claire, but throughout the 3rd Congressional District about, you know, the temperament or the emotional maturity or the leadership qualities of Derek Van Orden and whether he deserves a third term or not?
Well, I think what we're seeing is instead of de-escalation, we're seeing continued escalation. We certainly had an opportunity where folks on both sides of the aisle could come together and say, you know what, we're both going to condemn political violence. Well, I think we heard that from some people, but for Derek Van Orden and President Trump and others on the Republican Party, we heard, no, we're going to use this as an opportunity to ignite bigger fires. If you watched any of the coverage of Charlie Kirk's funeral on Sunday, if you watched what Derek Van Orden had to say here on our local media, it was attack, attack, attack. It was, it's all the left's fault. We have no culpability in this. And here it is. You know, he's written out this short bill that says if an individual condones or celebrates violence, federal funding for that entity will be withheld. So they're not making a law restricting the speech. They're doing that workaround that they try to do where they're going to restrict funding based on the speech that's made.
Well, the thing is, I mean, with what we're not clear on is who determines that? Who determines that somebody has condoned, political violence? And what do they mean by, you know, political violence? Because again, a lot of the comments in return were not advocating for political violence. They were either quoting Charlie Kirk's words or talking about his life and legacy, which is hardly the same thing, that same kind of equating that comes in there. So Laura, and we're talking to Laura Benjamin, candidate for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District, one of three Democrats hoping to unseat Derek Van Orden. But in the Eau Claire part of the district, again, it's a sprawling district, past La Crosse, down to Prairie du Chien, and then up through into parts of central Wisconsin as well. So as you've been getting around the district, introducing yourself to people, yeah, there's a lot of people that want to talk about Derek Van Orden and the things that he's done or hasn't done or things like that. But you're also looking to stand out from a current three-candidate primary field. So in light of recent events, what is it that you tell people about your own leadership or management style that you think would serve them better as a member of Congress?
Wow. Okay. So I think that there's a couple of pieces to that question. And the first piece is, what do we do now? And the second piece is, what do we do later? Right now, I've been encouraging people to vote with their wallet. This is one of the things that we just saw when Jimmy Kimmel was pulled off the air. People reacted to that by discontinuing their Disney Plus subscriptions, their Hulu subscriptions. And that shows that in a lot of ways, corporations treat money as a vote, as speech. And so we can have an impact and actually shape some of the narrative and some of the decisions that are being made by leadership and by large corporations by voting with our money. This kind of solidarity can be really impactful in the meanwhile, while we're working to regain some level of formal leadership in Washington. When it comes to my policies, I look at my policies as more, what do we do for people moving forward so that folks feel comfortable living in this country again? They feel like it's an affordable place. They feel like they have access to things. So most of my messaging has been around Medicare for all, living wages, not a minimum wage increase, but actually a living wage that's indexed to the cost of living in communities, and to make sure that our human rights are protected so that, you know, no matter whether you're, you know, Black or white or Indigenous, you're LGBTQ, that you have, you understand you belong in this country, and frankly, that your freedom of speech and your freedom of expression are protected.
Along with all of this, which we won't have time to cover now, but there is the threat of a potential government shutdown next week based on votes that Derek Van Orden and other Republicans in Congress have taken. If that comes to pass, there are going to be impacts, not just in Eau Claire, but throughout the 3rd Congressional District. And no doubt we will be having that conversation as well, if and when that time comes next week. Laura Benjamin, again, is a candidate for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. Her website is laurabenjaminforcongress.com. Facebook would be Laura for WI, LAURA, FORWI, and Instagram, Laura for Congress. Laura Benjamin, great to talk to you again. Thank you so much for the visit and for the reaction to current events. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat. You too.
All right. And again, we've been talking as we're able to with Emily Berge. We talked to her last week. Current president of the Eau Claire City Council on Derek Van Orden. Becca Cook has been turning down interview requests recently, but we will continue to reach out and hopefully be able to talk to her as well. Again, three candidates right now in the race for 3rd Congressional District and a primary that will be held in August of next year. Coming up, dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser and then Sheila Everhart of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
My problem is I don't ever eat fish fries, so when I do it, I overdo it. I ordered a large perch, ate everything on my plate, and I felt like I wanted to die. And now I don't want to eat fish again, maybe ever.
I know it's a staple to get breaded fish, but if you don't get the bread on it, you know, you can kind of get away with eating more.
I'm not trying to gain weight for football here. I'm like, I just want to have a nice meal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Ahoy, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
540 WAUK, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, and home to the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. You know, there's a lot of great guests that come through for the Don Rosen Show, but I wanted to highlight one specifically, and that is Megan Harper and Phil Hill from the African American Chamber of Commerce of Racine. And they didn't just talk to Don about their great events, but they also got into the subjects of chemical engineering and martial arts.
Now, what is the African American Chamber of Commerce? I know what the CFCs are, but what's the African American Chamber of Commerce?
So we're a collective of business owners here in Racine and Kenosha that have come together under the guidance of Georgia Ann Stinson. Her collective vision has been to bring underrepresented businesses to the forefront, as well as to provide any resources such as classes and other online connectivity and endorsement to push it out into the community so we can make a better connection with it.
In real life, these two people have very interesting lives when they're not doing the Lakefront Expo. Megan, you in real life, you are a, I take it in real life, in your normal everyday life.
I'm actually an analytical chemist, so I'm second generation small business owner. So I will be at some point taking the reins of analytical testing laboratory. So we are currently looking at insecticides as well as various other consumer products. And we typically use gas chromatography analysis. Sounds really complicated, but all it is a separation process where you vaporize something and send it through this really tiny tube. And then as it goes down the tube, it separates and you can see the compounds and analyze them as they will tell you whether or not you're still in specification for that product over months of storage.
And you have to be a grammar school graduate, I assume. You had to graduate at least the sixth grade to get to this job.
It definitely helps. It helps. There's some math involved. I may have to been forced to take a quantum mechanics class, but that's neither here nor there, you know.
When I was a little kid, I wanted to be one of three things. Even an ice cream man, stock car driver, or on the radio. Did you want to be a chemist when you were a kid?
I actually wanted to be a paleontologist before anyone knew what Jurassic Park
was. Really?
And that's I had always explained it. What's a paleontologist? And then Jurassic Park came out, and it was like, oh, thank goodness. I don't need to explain it anymore.
Wow. How about you, Phil? What are you doing in real life?
I spent about 45 years, most of my adult life since high school, in electronic security and safety systems. That is basically alarm systems, burglar fire alarm, access control door systems, and camera systems. The things we use every day in life. Like you let me in the building today with the very door system.
My sneaky camera system.
The doorbell system. The video doorbell, which, can I say, because we're talking about African-American businesses, the video doorbell system was basically innovated through an African-American nurse from New York. She was a nurse full time. Her husband was an electrical engineer, but she came home at night and she was worried about her safety. So she drew on a piece of paper, which became a blueprint. And that blueprint basically is today's Ring doorbell and smart home system. ADT, the global giant, recognizes her as the innovator.
Really?
Yes. Her name is Marie Van Britten Brown.
Everybody's got the Ring doorbells now.
Yep.
Yes.
You know, they're so common. Everyone. And when you think about how simple it is to use.
I wish I'd have put the two together, the doorbell and the video camera. And yeah, so that's what I've done. And I teach it now as well at the Milwaukee Electrical JATC, the Training Center for Continued Education for our electrical trade members in Milwaukee.
Well, my wife has to control the Ring system at home because I don't understand it. She's got the main control panel on her phone.
Yep.
I can't reset things. I can't set it up. She just put me on there as a, I just be a user of it.
Sure.
But I can't control anything.
Keep your fingers off those controls.
Right.
Work these.
I change the battery in it once a month outside. That's about all I'm allowed to do on that. Well, that's interesting. You guys have interesting jobs in your real lives.
Yes.
Whoa, that's very good. What's Taekwondo? I know there's judo, there's Taekwondo. Yes. So what is Taekwondo?
So Taekwondo is a traditional Korean martial art. There's two major iterations. So there's WTF is what you see in the Olympics. So that's World Taekwondo Federation. It's more of the sport karate, sport Taekwondo. A lot of people refer to us as karate, so I almost said it. It makes it easier for people to understand. And then the one that we practice is ITF, International Taekwondo, which is more of a traditional hard style. So you'll see the forms, traditional forms. You'll see we still freeze spar. Unlike the Olympic style, we allow punching to the head. There's some little other iterations, but we do more of the traditional. You'll see a lot of the things that you think of when you see none of the clay pots holding, not quite the movies. We're hours on end. We try to make it palatable for the children.
So you're not the Karate Kid.
Not exactly. Not quite like that.
So as a demonstration, she's going to throw Phil through the studio window here in just a few minutes.
Do you need cameras for that?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Does it matter how big your opponent is? Or could you take on anybody?
The point. Okay, so we also have a sister art, too, called Hapkido, which actually is more of the joint manipulations, joint locks, throws, which is what you're referring to, incorporated into our system. Again, traditional Korean martial art. And with the two together, we have what we call a more complete system. So as far as size goes, it's always wise to evaluate and use your...
Don't pick a fight with somebody who's beat you by 100 pounds.
But my instructor has always said something very apt, which is he's never been picked on by someone smaller than him.
Our thanks to Megan Harper and Phil Hill from the African American Chamber of Commerce of Racine for stopping by to talk about all the great things they're doing in the community. If you want to listen to that entire interview, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for the Don Rosen Show and download it directly to your device and listen to it anytime, anywhere. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. Stick around because in the 8 o'clock hour, Pat welcomes Brittany Merlot with the weather, Courier News DC correspondent Cam Stevenson, and Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer with state politics. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the free Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Recently, a bill has been introduced into Congress looking to add more transparency in the fertilizer market and lower the prices for farmers. I'm Ben Jarbo at the Midwest Farm Report. And here to give more insight for why there's a need for this bill is Shane Goplin, a farmer with HV Acres LLC and member of the Wisconsin Corn Growers Association.
In transparency in the fertilizer market, we really don't know trends. From a farmer's perspective, on my end, we see that, it seems like if the grain prices go up, well, the fertilizer prices go up. Why? We don't know. It's just, kind of what we've gotten used to. But now we're, next year we're seeing fertilizer costs going up even more without the price of grain.
Shane Goplin says that they just want the answers as to why these things are happening. Why is fertilizer continuing to go up when the crop prices continue to go down? For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at some agriculture news right after this.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
At the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, they know your business has always been something special. Now you can let customers know it too, in an instant, with the red and yellow Something Special from Wisconsin sticker. Joining the program gives you access to supplier and distribution information, marketing support, and a community of like-minded Wisconsin businesses. Best of all, you'll let people know that your work is done with care, quality, and love. You've always been something special. Visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to make it official.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at some agriculture news. The Dairy Checkoff has introduced Smart Swaps. This is a dairy-focused initiative designed to help schools meet evolving nutrition standards and student expectations while using dairy. The goal is to find something that both students like and is good for them. In other news, Foremost Farms USA, a leading dairy cooperative and manufacturer in the Midwest, has announced that they have reached an agreement to sell their food service cheese business, including the 1950-127 brand. And to go along with that, all the related manufacturing equipment will be given to Wisconsin Dairy Distributing. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
The 540 WAUK Text to Win contest is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog possible early, otherwise mostly cloudy skies today. Some lingering instability could lead to a stray shower or a thunderstorm in the afternoon. High temperatures right around 70. For tonight, mostly cloudy skies with lows near 60. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney James Santel as we discuss the Supreme Court's dismantling of all independent agencies. Oh my goodness. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Matt Nair and Greg Bach are coming up after this fine program. Theirs begins at 9 o'clock, runs from 9 to 11. And during the 9 o'clock hour, they too will have a keyword as part of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. We've got one of those going on this hour right now. And the word that you have to text us before 8 o'clock this morning is RIVAL. R-I-V-A-L. RIVAL. Text that using the Civic Media app to be in the running for a daily prize that includes cash and a gold-plated chain, see the green and the gold, and then the grand prize, tickets to see Green Bay versus Minnesota, a game in Green Bay in November. Again, we had details a little earlier this hour. Details again at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. But again, to be in the running for the daily prize as well as that big grand prize, you've got to text us RIVAL, R-I-V-A-L, on the Civic Media app before 8 o'clock. Sign up for our daily newsletters at upnorthnewswi.com. That includes our question of the week and who is to blame if there's a government shutdown next week when the new fiscal year begins. Is it Democrats who should just let majority Republicans, you know, do what they want? Is it Republicans who know they need Democratic votes to pass a budget? Is it President Trump who should be rising above the party politics and crafting a deal so there's not a government shutdown? Whatever your thoughts of it, to answer the question of the week and to see it first on Sunday mornings, sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. When I mentioned Jane Matinere is coming up next, not only will she have another keyword to win, but at 10 o'clock, she's going to have Dr. David Drake, a UW professor and extension wildlife specialist. That will be her guest along with me at 9:30, if she'll still have me. We'll see. You know, it's always either I click the button, I show up in the studio, or I find out it doesn't work anymore. You know who it still works for here? It works for Sheila Everhart, and it works for Hans Breitenmoser. Hans is a dairy farmer from Lincoln County up near Merrill, and Sheila is with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, and we love talking to them every other Tuesday about farm and ag tourism issues. Good morning to both of you. Hope you're doing well.
Good morning, Pat, and I'm sure it's nothing personal.
I'm sure it's not, yes. And Sheila, you doing well?
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Hans, I always like to start just a little bit with what's happening in farm news. And the thing that certainly is sticking out for me is soybeans, where, again, we should be shipping about $12 billion worth of soybeans to China. They haven't purchased a single bean yet. They have been getting their soybeans from Brazil, and based on yesterday's headlines, probably will be getting more from Argentina because of Donald Trump's tariffs. I know you don't know the answer to this, but boy, at what point is there any sense of, is panic the wrong word for people who are depending on having a good harvest and finding a market for those beans?
Well, I think panic's probably a reasonable word for the cash crop farmers. I mean, we have a dairy farm. We grow a little tiny bit of soybeans. This year, we grew 100 acres of soybeans for the non-GMO edible soybean market, and a lot of those will go to Asia. So that market is, not great. But yeah, I mean, we're a commodity exporting country, and when your trade relationships with other countries aren't spectacular, that tends to push commodity prices down, and we can only use so much of those beans ourselves. Other countries know how to grow stuff, and they certainly will. And economies like Argentina and Brazil, of course, they rely on their ag exports as well. So they're very happy when we make poor trade deals, and they become the preferred supplier.
Yeah, and again, this all relates to the government shutdown that could potentially happen next week in this way.
this should be one of the things Congress is working on right now, is whether this particular trade war is in the nation's best interest, or should they have some more oversight over what the president is doing. But we can't even get to that point if they can't even keep the government open. So that's where the two things are connected. And again, we'll continue to follow this story. And of course, on the Midwest Farm Report, early mornings on many of these civic media stations. Now, Hans and I have spoken repeatedly about diversity in Wisconsin farming. That also includes a tourism component. It might just be, you know, local visitors coming to a dinner. It might be people coming from far away to see pumpkin patches and corn mazes. That's the kind of thing we have this time of year. And Sheila Everhart is watching all that for us from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. Sheila, this strikes me as prime time for farmers that want to have corn mazes or pumpkin patches, and the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association is all over promoting that kind of stuff, right?
Absolutely. I just shake my head, Pat. You know, the USDA has confirmed that we're looking at double-digit income loss again. Not only is it our soybeans, but it's also our corn commodity prices are not good. So what is good for farmers to help make that ends meet is agricultural tourism. Our farmers are innovative and they're great at growing crops, but right now they're focusing on growing the corn for a corn maze to allow guests that are many generations removed from a family farm to go out and walk through the corn, learn about how to grow corn, what it looks like to be in a cornfield, and have an experience in a corn maze. And most importantly, they're willing to pay for that experience that gives that farmer an additional revenue stream. And why do parents like corn mazes? Because it's actually learning. It's encouraging problem solving, building communication skills and cooperation, promoting being outdoors and promoting exercise, and encouraging language development. And it's a time for families to be together, to explore, to learn, to have fun, and to support our local farmers.
And you know, Sheila, thanks to technology, making these corn mazes used to be a lot harder. And now the technology, GPS, I assume, is what makes these mazes much more interesting, much more intricate, right?
Well, we have some farmers that are using technology to the highest degree. They even have developed apps for smartphones. So you can pull up, you can scan the QR code. It goes right to the Corn Maze app. It gives you clue. You can track your distance and what clues you've obtained. And it leads you to in even an escape room that is right within the corn maze. It all depends on the farmer. There are many farmers that are still doing the corn mazes the old-fashioned way with the grid paper and designing it and going out and cutting it with their mowers. It just depends on the farm. A lot of farms are having trivia. You know, how many gallons of milk does it take to make a pound of butter? Or how many gallons of milk does it take to make a gallon of ice cream? So that our guests are learning something within the maze. So it just depends on the farm itself, because every one of our farms is unique and offers different experiences, whether you are in a very specific design maze to look like something that is so beautiful that you see the design from the sky or from a drone footage, or if it's just a design that was cut by the farmer and includes trivia. So it's a great opportunity for families to get out and enjoy our fall season.
We're talking to Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association and Hans Breitenmoser, dairy farmer up in the Merrill area. And Hans, the corn maze aspect of it and using, you know, GPS technology. I mean, if you could go back, I mean, there's been a lot of changes in farming in 40 to 50 years, but what GPS has enabled farmers to do in terms of what planting, harvesting, yield, all of that, but then to also have a little bit of fun with the GPS. I think that anybody's farm grandparents or great grandparents would just be tickled at both aspects of what you can do with satellites now.
Well, and it's a generational thing. You know, I'm too young to be a curmudgeon, but just, you know, my experience with the corn maze is when the heifers get out and in the middle of the night and I have to chase them through the corn. My son, on the other hand, was packing corn silage yesterday because we started chopping yesterday, and he pushed the right buttons on the GPS on one of the pack tractors, so he didn't even have to steer on the bunker silo. It just moved him over 50 inches every pass. So that's the difference in the generations, for sure.
Absolutely. And it's not just the corn, by the way. I think I've told the story before about on our street, and we're going back 20 plus years now, there were these triplets, and the triplets were like 3 or 4 years old. And the sun was going down and we were just talking with the neighbors. And next thing we know, the triplets are gone. And they thought we were playing hide and seek. So even though we're calling for them in the cornfield, they're not calling back. And that was a crazy 20 minutes, a fearful 20 minutes with the sun going down until we found them. I like these organized mazes much, much better. And Sheila, to that end, the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association has a maze challenge where you can visit a maze between September 11th and November 2nd for a chance to win prizes. You go to wiagtourism.com, and it involves taking a photo, put it on social media, use the tag WATA Maze. And by that, I mean WATA for Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, WATA Maze, MAZE. And then random winners will be selected. You guys have found a way to mix farm tourism and photography and social media to make this a fun event.
Yep, we want everyone highly engaged. And I will say, Pat, our farmers really make sure that the corn mazes are safe and that everyone goes in, comes out. They have a corn maze checklist, and they are ready for our guests to come out and enjoy the corn maze this fall and go to the pumpkin patches and pick their pumpkins and just enjoy farm fresh food while they're on the farm.
Well, you took me right to our final point here, and that was pumpkin patches. Again, a big popular thing coming up this time of year. And I have to admit, I know very little about pumpkin growth in Wisconsin on farms, how much of it is done like for income versus as kind of a more of a hobby. But this is, again, prime season for farmers who've been working on growing pumpkins to have visitors come in. And I would imagine at the website, people can learn more about that as well.
Yes, and we do have some podcasts that are on wiagtourism.com, and we have pumpkin farmers talk exactly what it means to be a pumpkin farmer, how they grow their pumpkins, and how they sell and market their pumpkins. And really, a pumpkin and a sweet corn stand are the easiest two, and the corn maze, those are the three easiest ways for people to start with agricultural tourism. We have a lot of young farmers that are in high school, that are starting their pumpkin patches and their pumpkin wagons, and then they continue to grow as they learn the process of growing and harvesting pumpkins. And then it becomes a family affair. And often these pumpkin sales help to put our young farmers through college.
Yeah. And again, I can testify now having four grandkids that as each one has come up in age and get to what would be a prime age for corn mazes and pumpkin patches and rolling around in whatever you'd call them, the corn pits. It's not a ball pit. It's a corn pit just filled with dried corn. The kids love that. And all the other things that you can do for family-friendly ag tourism, go to wiagtourism.com. Sheila Everhart, thank you so much as always. And Hans Brighton Moser, dairy farmer up in Lincoln County, always great to connect with you as well. Thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you very much, and thank you for supporting Wisconsin agricultural tourism and fall and our small to medium family farms.
You bet. Thank you very much. It's always good to see you all. And we'll have our tag team duo of Cam Stevenson from Washington, D.C., and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area talking politics in the next hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get Get ready to go for the green and gold on 540 WAUK. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize. $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize. Two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota. Download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. Complete rules at civicmedia.us. Sponsored in part by Pickleball Kingdom, a half mile north of Silver Spring off Pilgrim, Menominee Falls.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. Two states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ. The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, "American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences," unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Hermans.
When we moved here, I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing. On the other end, it's just silence.
Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. Earlier, I played for you an interview, a selection, actually, of an interview that Jane Matinere and I did on our show, Matinere on Air, with Corrine Hendrickson, who recently announced her candidacy for State Senate of District 17. And that is in south central Wisconsin. And you might be saying to yourself, I don't live there. I can't vote for her. And that's right. You cannot vote for her. But I want you to hear her story because this reflects the views of a lot of voters who want leaders who will work for us, and you can help, whether it's her campaign or a candidate who you like, because that's how our voices are raised, through the process of support, through the process of elections, and getting out there and finding the people who will be the ones who will work for us, the people of Wisconsin. And something, Corrine, you shared in the chat on the break here, you said, so back to not resting, you closed your business on Friday, October 29th, and filed on Tuesday, September 2nd, because the first was a holiday, you would have done it on the first because that's you. And you have more energy than you did since you don't have 50 hours of working with kids behind you. So you have the energy to run. So the question I have for you is, Corrine, we know you as the childcare expert on the show. We have you talking about this issue at great lengths in great detail. But on that campaign trail, there are going to be other things you need to talk about, answer questions, and compose your platform for people to vote for you. What are you going to be talking about besides childcare to really get at the conversation of what the voters are looking for in your district?
Yep. So yes, both yesterday at my launch party at Toffler's with the Jimmies, that was fun. We had music, and Wednesday, and Elkhorns at both. They're called Elkhorns.
Thank you.
And so, So both of those days, I really talked about affordability. We really need to stop pricing people out of their homes. And what the core foundational reason for that is that our co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, Senator Mark Lyne, who is in my, a person I'm going to be right. running against, he controls the state budget. That state budget, lack of investment and cuts to the local, you know, your fire, your municipalities, your school districts, all of those things, and deciding not to invest in childcare increases your property taxes. Because what happens is whatever the state doesn't fill in, you still need those services
right.
in your smaller right. communities. Your property taxes have to go up. Well, when you're going from, you know, 6 million people that are paying a little bit in, down to your local small communities like New Glarus is 2,000 people. And we're having to fill in that gap for what? It doesn't make sense. And the reason we're filling in the gap is because the tax cuts for the rich. So while we're, that's by design too, because instead of us fighting back and pushing back on the government for refusing to invest, we're too busy fighting each other over the same scraps and yes. getting angry and the dehumanization and all of that language that's happening and needs to stop. We're all humans. We all want the same things. As I've been talking to people, that's what I keep hearing. Affordability, affordability, affordability. And minimum wage, $7.50. Back to women should stay home with the kids. How's that happening with the husband making $8 an hour? And yes, you know, actually know who makes minimum wage in this state?
Child care providers. Yep.
Yeah.
So people do make minimum wage. It's not, you know, anything to be ashamed about. It's a shame that that's what we are earning. It's not that we should be ashamed of the fact we only earn that much. And that's part of the narrative change that I'm trying to do. And that's the work I've been doing for the last 5-6 years when talking to people. In my launch party yesterday, it was open to the public. So people were still coming in, like wanting a meal or whatever and listen to the music. And they all of a sudden find themselves in this middle of this campaign. Well, I expected more people to just walk out, right? Because it's like, ooh, but they're like, this is fun. Who are you? And so after I talked and I said, hey, Generation X, you know, all those movies that we watched as kids where we stand up to the bully. Now's our time. Let's yeah. do this. Like, let's get together. And so they, this group of people at a table, I have no idea who they were. From Minnesota, I find out, donated to me. They came up to me and they're like, I heard what you said. I love what you said. Can we donate to you out of state? And I was like, absolutely. And they're like, you know, we really loved it. We looked you up. My wife was a childcare professional and you have great things to say. Keep doing it. Keep fighting. We need That's more amazing. People like you. And so that to me was like this. These people had no idea who I was. And that resonated. First person I talked to after I got off the stage the first time, it's like, are you a Democrat or liberal or a centrist or a right winger, what are you?
What are you?
Like, hi, I'm Corrine. Because he's like, you're purple. And I go, I did that by design because my sign will stick out because there's a primary. Also, because you see red or blue, you assume. You see purple and you go, huh, and you look me up. And then you get to know me. And so my whole campaign is about getting to know people, having people do house parties, because the rural especially, it's not what you know, it's who
it's
you know.
Who you know.
Absolutely.
And that- then... what I know and who I am and if they like me, but I have to get in that door. So I'm asking people even out of district, who do you know that lives in Grant, Iowa, Lafayette, Crawford, Greene counties, and the rainbow over Greene County of Dane County from Mount Horeb down to Brooklyn, and get them connected to me, introduce them to me. And then I can talk. We're going to have coffee shop stops. I already have an event down in Platteville at the Black Smock and the Speakeasy 50-50 planned for October. End of October, I'll get you the dates. And then I've got one in New Rose, a witch's night in October, because witch's nights are traditionally about women's rights and, you know, having conversations.
Sure.
So we're going to do a witch's night there. So I've had some really great fun things planned. I also don't want it to be a paywall. So many people that were there yesterday have never donated to a political candidate. They have never gone to a political event because you have to pay
yeah.
for entry. And I don't want there to be a paywall. I am going to need a lot of funding. I'm not going to lie. That's the part I heard you talking about before. That's not my favorite part.
Sure.
But I have to be able to pay for gas to get to the places. I have to be able to pay for the envelopes and the website and all of the things and my campaign team. So I do need funding, but I really need the people on the ground and the volunteers. And I don't want to keep people out of it. I want to re-enfranchise people. I want to get the young people excited. My kids that graduated from me, my alumni, are starting to get to be voting age.
Oh, that's
exciting.
So
I'm going to try and get them engaged and have them like talk about like Mama Keene, you know, helped raise me and I'm going to vote for her because so I'm going to really try hard to get more people to understand that government can and should work for you. And we should stop accepting them not doing that.
If you'd like to find out more about Corrine's campaign, go to Corrine417.com. If you'd like to find out more about who represents you, go to myvote.wi.gov. Put in all your information, and it will tell you who represents you from the president down to the dog catcher if you still vote for them. Again, that's myvote.wi.gov. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take all your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the free Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. The Secret Service says it's dismantled a plot that could have crippled cell service in New York during this week's UN General Assembly. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
Federal law enforcement says this telecommunications network was so powerful, it was capable of sending 30 million text messages per minute.
President Trump speaks at the UN today. The World Health Organization, the latest to offer pushback over the Trump administration's claims of a link between women who take Tylenol in pregnancy and autism. The WHO's Tariq Yasarevic.
If the link between acetaminophen and autism were strong, it would likely have been consistently observed across multiple studies.
The WHO also denying vaccines are linked to autism. Variety's Brian Steinberg on Jimmy Kimmel Live's return to ABC stations tonight.
Disney prides itself on being a very creative company. A lot of Hollywood was against this. So I'm sure that Disney noticed very quickly.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Should or can sheriffs in Kenosha and Walworth lock people up at the request of immigration agents? That's the question.